Chapter 20. Romilius, my lord, oh, how wonderfully happy I am. The tribulation we went through over Jesus coming into Jerusalem was like a dark cloud that we regarded with great fear. Now the cloud is lifted. I can hardly believe what happened today, how the people shouted and cheered and welcomed Jesus into their midst. I felt humbled because Jesus sent one of his people, Philip, with a message telling me to come and be with the two Marys as they came near to the city gates. So I was there when the people crowded out to greet him, and it amazed me. I was much moved because I am nothing but a common harlot, and Jesus forgives what I am and welcomes me into his company. Yet I know I cannot be fully saved until I give up the sins of my life and walk in the way Jesus teaches. As you must know, word spread through the city, saying that Jesus is the Messiah and was about to claim his rightful place among us. It was a moment full of wonder and also a little mystery, for we cannot possibly fully understand what he, Jesus, has brought into the world. I wish you could have seen what happened, how the people marched in a great throng and stripped leaves from the trees, throwing them down in the dirt and dust in front of the ass that carried the Lord Jesus toward the city. The people rejoiced and were full of laughter, singing and dancing, as our Lord and Master Jesus rode toward Jerusalem with the men who watched over him. Hallelujah, they sang. Hallelujah et Adonai. And as they sang, they clapped their hands and made a joyful sound. Jesus smiled and received the honor of the people as though it was his due, which it is. He has with him all 12 of the men he calls his messengers. They are the 12 men chosen to go into the world and spread the news that he has come to save us from extinction and lead us into the promised land of paradise. His followers are led by the man Simon Peter, whom I spoke with in Bethany, the man I plotted with to be in touch with Joseph from Arimathea. All was happiness and joy, yet some of the women wept and were full of sorrow. For one woman said to me that if the holy writings were indeed prophecies, as her husband, who was a learned priest, had told her, then this Jesus would be betrayed, sentenced, and put to death, dead and buried. I cannot think of that, for today has been the best day of my life ever. Yet tomorrow, my Lord Romilius, could be a day without equal, a day of terror, anguish, and pain. A good and holy man, knowledgeable in our scriptures and the law, came and sat with a group of us by the roadside. Jesus' mother Mary was there with the other Mary, and I will tell you, Centurion Romilius, what this holy man said to us. He said that today the people have welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, but before the week is out they will deny him and give him over to the Romans, who will sentence and execute him. Yet even that is a joyful matter, he said. Truly I cannot understand how this can be, but this man is obviously wise and has a great understanding of the writings and prophecies that he says are the cornerstone of our faith. He then read to us a passage from one of the holy writings, from the prophet Isaiah, which was, as I remember it, like this. He's despised, rejected, thrown apart from other men. He's a man of sorrows, one who knows grief. Men and women will hide their faces from him, yet he will bear all our grief, carry all our sorrows and all our sins. This, he said, is the man you have seen today. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. So I now truly believe the man Jesus to be the man of sorrows also. And Mary, his mother, wept when she heard it and said, yes, this is true. I alone know for certain what my son is and from where he came. Romilius, I was and am filled with wonder, for I have seen the coming of the Messiah, for it is Jesus himself. Yes, I have seen the coming and the love of God. Yet in the middle of all this joy there is uncertainty still. While the many people who came and cheered him along the road from Bethany speak of him in wonder, others would see him destroyed. He knows this and calmly accepts it, and it is in his acceptance that I find myself confused. Tonight the loathsome Thomas, steward to Caiaphas, has been to me, and I managed to persuade him to have love with Azeb, for I find it difficult to be with him. He is like some slimy, creeping creature. He was boasting, saying that the Sanhedrin had met today at his master's house, And Caiaphas had made a long speech saying that if they didn't denounce Jesus to the governor and have him arrested and executed, they were putting the entire house of Israel at risk. It is better for one man to die so that the children of Israel should be saved. According to Thomas, that is what Caiaphas said to the council, and they agreed. The only good thing is that Thomas now prefers Azeb to me. She did not like him and began to be difficult after he left. She said that she would not take him to her bed again, and she answered back rudely when I remonstrated with her. I hate doing it, but I beat her soundly, some 8 hard strokes with the rod, which she did not like, twisting and trying to free herself from my grasp. But in the end it was done, and she wept a great deal. As ever, when I beat her, she finally came to my bed, and I was glad of it, for I am very afraid. I cannot reason why I am so full of anxiety, but I am. And little Azeb held me and made me feel less worried and helped me to sleep. I'm sorry for her because I saw in her nakedness the great welts from where I've beaten her, livid scars across her rump. I forgive her. Please do the same, Romilius. My mind is in disarray. I'm so happy with the thoughts of what has happened. When I close my eyes, I see Jesus riding in through the gates with all the people singing and bowing before him, and the dust of the journey falling on the old robe he wears, matting in his hair and beard. Then I hear what this Thomas has said, and what the holy man by the roadside told us about Jesus being the man full of sorrows. My heart will break, my lord, I'm sure of it. Have you yet got word from the man Joseph from Arimathea? Romilius, my beloved, I have tonight received your message about seeing Joseph, and I look forward with joy to being with you. Yet I am full of dread at the last part of your message, for you say that we must have great care and not admit any to this house, unless we already know them, that we must turn strangers away and not open the door to men we do not know. I seem to be living as though in a great storm. One day I am taken up to the top of a high mountain, where the winds are calm and the air warm. Next I am suddenly cast down in a dark and gloomy valley, where there is no sun, and only a wild moaning of wind to accompany me. 2 days ago the master came into the city, and everywhere people praised him and rejoiced. How quickly things can alter! Again it is as though he wishes to die, as the prophets have predicted. 2 men came to the house tonight. They come here regularly, and are rich merchants. And one told of the last time Jesus was here in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles. This was some time ago, in Ethanium, after the harvest. Ethanium is a period of time similar to a month, but a little longer. Ethanium would correspond with our September to October. At that time they see Jesus was unknown to them, yet it was then that he became known and talked of because of his miracles and the good news he brought in his teaching. They were here this time when he came into the city like a king, lord of all who saw him. Today, though, he's gone out of his way to drive a wedge between himself, the people, and particularly the priests and those who are part of the Sanhedrin, because he has all but defiled the holy temple. They say he was like an enraged man, incensed, shouting and frightening all who saw him. Now he is not as before. He is wild-eyed, his robe is dirty, and he needs to wash his clothes and body. He appears to have lost all control and respect for himself. He lashed out at the men who do business in the temple, in the court of the Gentiles. Some of the men who are money changers had their tables broken, so that money was scattered on the ground. Jesus also struck several of these men, wielding a scourge of cords. These people, and others, those who sell animals near the temple wall, have now brought a complaint against Jesus. And it is said that the temple guards are looking for him, and Azeb has just come to me to say she has heard the Sanhedrin has ordered his arrest. So it has come, what we dreaded. Romilius, I am telling Petros what has just happened, for I know that you will be here at any hour now, and I am frightened. 2 of your men came to us tonight. They were Felix and Aurus, who went with me to Cana when I first saw Jesus. They paid with silver, and when I said to them that I did not think you, my lord, would approve of them coming to our house, they just laughed, and said that before long you would not have any supremacy over them. I realized then that they were both a little drunk with wine.